The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 13, beginning at the first verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, "And lead us not into temptation." Those were words we spoke, that we prayed just a moment ago. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, we don't even want to go down that path. It's like somebody saying, oh, there's a forest fire. Let me go take a look. I'm going to go into the forest fire. I don't want to go down that path, Lord. Lead us not into temptation. We pray in this petition, if you remember your little catechism, that God would guard and keep us so that the devil and the world and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief or despair or other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. Now, when you go to seminary, preacher school, when you go to seminary, one of the things they'll teach you is that if you want to know what God says on a particular subject, a particular topic, you don't just open your Bible and pull one verse out and close your Bible and call it good. What you do is, or what you try to do is, take that one verse together with other verses like it that deal with the same subject, and then you take them all together and prayerfully you go forward from there. If I remember correctly, it's called the analogy of faith. What you do is you look for analogs, Bible verses that all talk about the same particular subject. And when you found them and you looked at them and you prayed about them, then you go on from there. So let's try it out. Let's look for analogs. And we find one in the gospel lesson for today. Jesus tells a parable. It's called the parable of the sower, the person scattering seed like they did in the old days. The parable of the sower, it's probably the best known parable of the Lord. Maybe the sheep and the goats is another one, but this one probably best known. And it has analogs. It's found in Matthew, today's lesson. It's found in Mark. It's also found in Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And there's nothing mystical about it. Our Lord Jesus' parable simply talks about the different way or different ways that people respond to the Christian message. As the seed gets scattered, as the word goes out, there's different responses in different people to the message of salvation in Jesus, to the message of forgiveness and pardon and cleansing from your sin that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what do you have? You have the seed on the path that falls on the path. You have the seed that falls in the shallow soil. You have the seed that falls in the weed patch. And then you have the seed that falls in the good soil. And what we want to understand is it's not speaking of morally good. Soil isn't morally or immoral. It's neither of those. It doesn't mean morally good. What it means is that the soil's ready to go. It's well tilled. The farmer has tilled it up with his plow. And it's ready to receive and hear the seed. And when it does, it produces a return. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And the point of the parable is simply, the Lord Jesus says, let's look in the mirror. Which one are you? Which one do you want to be? And if God's Holy Spirit's in you, if you're a child of God, you're going to say, you know, that's the last one that Jesus talks about. That's the one that I want to be. And here's where our analogy of faith comes in, where we take all the related Bible verses and we pull them all together, all three of the parables as Jesus tells them in the Gospels. And if you look at the last seed that is planted, the one in the good soil, if you look at that last seed, what you'll see is a difference in each of the Gospels. In the Gospel of Matthew today, it tells us that that soil is those who understand the message of Jesus. those who understand the good news of Jesus. And that's why you read your Bible. That's why you come to church. That's why you, like one of the old hymns says, you make the law of God your study and delight amid the labors of the day and the watches of the night. Because you want to understand the will of God, the ways of God, the purposes of God. You want to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things that are freely given to us by God. We want to understand the things given to us. That's the Gospel of Matthew. Now, if you turn to the Gospel of Mark, and he talks about the same thing, the last seed that falls on good soil. He takes it a step further, and he says this. He says, the good soil is those who not just understand the message of Christ, but those who accept the message of Christ. And there is, of course, a difference. It's good to understand. It's good to know. But what is important even more is to say, that's not just general information disseminated among all people. This is something for me. This is something that I believe, that I hold on to, that is my faith. It holds true for me. And so you find John chapter 11, as Jesus stands with Martha, a disciple of his, and they stand at her brother's graveside, and Jesus says to Martha, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha says, yes, Lord. I believe, it's not just information, I believe, I don't just know it, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And so you have accept. And Luke, St. Luke, with his version of the parable of the sower, adds a final piece, excuse me, for us. He says, the good soil is those who understand, Matthew, accept, Mark, but the word he uses is hold fast to the gospel of Jesus. Hold on to it. Keep it in your grip. Book of Revelation chapter 2, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation chapter 3, I am coming soon, so hold fast to what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Now, we want to understand that this is not some sort of method. First, you need to understand, then you need to accept, then you need to hold fast. It's not a progression of one thing to another. They all come together. They're not just checking off boxes. They all come together with each other. They're more like, if you could hear it this way, they're more like a prayer. A prayer to Almighty God. Lord, grant me to understand. Grant me to accept. And grant me to hold fast, because if you're not there, it's not going to happen for me. It's like a song from some years back, 1960s, I believe, and it was a musical, and in that musical there was a song called Day by Day. Anybody remember that one? Most of us are gray hairs, we ought to remember some of it. Day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray. What are they? To see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the words right there. You pray that to the Lord, why? Because there's plenty working against it. We pray in this petition, lead us not into temptation. We pray in this petition, Lord, that you would guard and keep us so that the devil and the world and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief and despair and other great shame and vice. And although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. And so you have today's parable, because that's an analog to the parable too, isn't it? Just like the song. You have the devil, like birds pecking up the seeds, and the devil would keep all sorts of people who you'd think would understand, all sorts of people, he keeps them from understanding. And then you have the world, and the world afflicts you and persecutes you if you're a child of God and rolls its eyes and thinks that you're stupid, and it beats down on you like a scorching heat. It afflicts you so that faith could dry up if it doesn't have much of a root or depth of soil. And then there's the third, that's the sinful nature, that sits down in front of the television or in front of the computer or flipping through the pages on the phone and goes from website to website and hears about, like the Bible says, wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes in various places and violence and crime and moral decay and the lack of faithfulness among men and the environment's falling apart and the glaciers are melting and an asteroid's going to hit the earth and there's going to be world plagues and zombie apocalypses and whatever else. And you turn page after page after page and you begin to despair. What's the point? Then you realize that's just the world telling you what it is. It's just showing you its hand. It's telling you what cards it carries. And it says what? When people hear this, when they see these things, then their love for Christ, it begins to grow cold. And they look to warm their hearts someplace else. They look to warm their hearts in a little campfire of wealth, the deceitfulness of wealth, Jesus says. And you hope to stay warm while the rest of the world grows dark. Christians can do better than that. We pray for greater things than that. We pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. We pray you would guard us, keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature does not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, other great shame and vice. And although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. It's like that old 1960s song, which in truth is actually not an old 1960s song. It's an old 1200s song. It's about 700 plus years older than the 1960s. It was written by a gentleman in the Middle Ages in England, and it was written in the Middle Ages, which was certainly not the best of times. A time period when there were wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and crime and moral decay and lack of faithfulness. And one historian described it as a time period that was poor, nasty, brutish, and short. Not a good time to be alive. And yet somebody still found a reason to praise God. And this is what he said. This is the prayer he wrote. He said, "Thanks be to thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits thou hast given me, for all the pains and insults thou hast borne for me. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly." Understanding, accepting, holding fast. All in one piece. All different ways of looking at the same thing. All that come about only by the grace of God. And that only come about as we look to him. Day by day. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.